By the fifth day, I was so tired of bologna I nearly got sick every time I looked at it. We had eaten all our candy bars in the first 2 days. I was dying for a Pepsi. I'm what you might call a Pepsi addict. I drink them like a fiend, and going for 5 days without one was about to kill me. Johnny promised to get some if we ran out of supplies and had to get some more, but that didn't help me right then. I was smoking a lot more there than I usually do. I guess because it was something to do, although Johnny warned me that I would get sick smoking so much. We were careful with our cigarettes. If that old church ever caught fire, there'd be no stopping it. On the fifth day, I had read up to Sherman's Siege of Atlanta in Gone with the Wind, owed Johnny $150 from poker games, smoked 2 packs of Camels, and, as Johnny had predicted, got sick. I hadn't eaten anything all day, and smoking on an empty stomach doesn't make you feel great. I curled up in a corner to sleep off the smoke. I was just about asleep when I heard, as if from a great distance, a low, long whistle that went off in a sudden high note. I was too sleepy to pay any attention, although Johnny didn't have any reason to be whistling like that. He was sitting on the back steps trying to read Gone with the Wind. I had almost decided that I had dreamed the outside world and there was nothing real but bologna sandwiches and the Civil War and the old church and the mist in the valley. It seemed to me that I had always lived in the church, or maybe lived during the Civil War and had somehow got transplanted. That shows you what a wild imagination I have. A toe nudged me in the ribs. "Glory," said a rough but familiar voice. "He looks different with his hair like that." I rolled over and sat up, rubbing the sleep out of my eyes and yawning. Suddenly I blinked. "Hey, Dally!"
"Hey, pony boy," he grinned down at me. "Or should I say Sleeping Beauty?"
I never thought I'd live to see the day when I would be so glad to see Dally Winston. But right then he meant one thing, contact with the outside world. And it suddenly became real and vital. "How's Soda Pop? Are the fuzz after us? Is Dary all right? Do the boys know where we are? What?"
"Hold on, kid," Dally broke in. "I can't answer everything at once. You two want to go get something to eat first? I skipped breakfast and I'm about starved."
"You're starved?" Johnny was so indignant he nearly squeaked. I remembered the bologna. "Is it safe to go out?" I asked eagerly.
"Yep."
Dally searched his shirt pocket for a cigarette, and finding none, said,
"Got a cancer stick, Johnny Cake?"
Johnny tossed him a whole package.
"The fuzz won't be looking for you around here," Dally said, lighting up. "They think you've lit out for Texas. I've got Buck's T-Bird parked down the road a little ways. Gosh almighty, boys, ain't you been eating anything?"
Johnny looked startled. "Yeah, whatever gave you the idea we ain't?"
Dally shook his head. "You're both pale and you've lost weight. After this, get out in the sun more. You look like you've been through the mill."
I started to say, "Look who's talking," but decided it would be safer not to. Dally needed a shave. A stubble of colorless beard covered his jaw, and he looked like he was the one who'd been sleeping in his clothes for a week instead of us. I knew he hadn't seen a barber in months, but it was safer not to get mouthy with Dally Winston.
"Hey, pony boy," he fumbled with a piece of paper in his back pocket. "I got a letter for you."
"A letter? Who from?"
"The president, of course, stupid. It's from Soda."
"Soda Pop?" I said, bewildered. "But how did he know?"
"He came over to Buck's a couple of days ago for something and found that sweatshirt. I told him I didn't know where you were, but he didn't believe me. He gave me this letter and half his paycheck to give you. Kid, you ought to see Dary. He's taking this mighty hard."
I wasn't listening. I leaned back against the side of the church and read.
"Pony boy, well, I guess you got into some trouble, huh? Dary and me nearly went nuts when you ran out like that. Dary is awful sorry he hit you. You know he didn't mean it. And then you and Johnny turned up missing, and what with that dead kid in the park and Dally getting hauled into the station, well, it scared us something awful.
The police came by to question us, and we told them as much as we could. I can't believe little old Johnny could kill somebody. I know Dally knows where you are, but you know him. He keeps his trap shut and won't tell me nothing. Darry hasn't got the slightest notion where you're at, and it is nearly killing him. I wish you'd come back and turn yourselves in, but I guess you can't since Johnny might get hurt. You sure are famous. You got a paragraph in the newspaper, even. Take care and say hi to Johnny for us. Soda Pop Curtis. He could improve his spelling, I thought, after reading it through 3 or 4 times. How come you got hauled in? I asked Dally.
Shoot, kid, he grinned wolfishly. Them boys at the station know me by now. I get hauled in for everything that happens on our turf. While I was there, I kind of let it slip that y'all were heading for Texas. So that's where they're looking.
He took a drag on his cigarette and cussed it good-naturedly for not being a cool. Johnny listened in admiration. You sure can cuss good, Dally.
Sure can, Dally agreed wholeheartedly, proud of his vocabulary. But don't you kids get to picking on my bad habits.
He gave me a hard rub on the head.
Kid, I swear, it don't look like you with your hair all cut off. It used to look tough. You and Soda had the coolest looking hair in town.
I know, I said sourly. I look lousy, but don't rub it in.
Well, do y'all want something to eat or not?
Johnny and I leaped up. You'd better believe it.
Gee, Johnny said wistfully, it sure will be good to get into a car again.
Well, Dally drawled, I'll give you a ride for your money.
Dally always did like to drive fast, as if he didn't care whether he got where he was going or not. And we came down the red dirt road off Jay Mountain doing 85. I liked fast driving, and Johnny was crazy about drag races, but we both got a little green around the gills when Dally took a corner on two wheels with the brakes screaming. Maybe it was because we hadn't been in a car for so long. We stopped at a Dairy Queen, and the first thing I got was a Pepsi. Johnny and I gorged on barbecue sandwiches and banana splits.
Glory! Dallas said, amazed, watching us gulp the stuff down. You don't need to make like every mouthful's your last. I got plenty of money. Take it easy. I don't want you getting sick on me. And I thought I was hungry.
Johnny merely ate faster. I didn't slow down until I got a headache.
I didn't tell y'all something, Dally said, finishing his third hamburger. The Socs and us are having all-out warfare all over the city. That kid you killed had plenty of friends, and all over town it's Soc against Grease. We can't walk alone at all. I started carrying a heater.
Dally, I said, frightened. You kill people with heaters.
You kill 'em with switchblades, too, don't you, kid?
Dally said in a hard voice. Johnny gulped.
Don't worry, Dally went on. It ain't loaded. I ain't aiming to get picked up for murder. But it sure does help a bluff. Tim Shepard's gang and our outfit are having it out with the Socs tomorrow night at the vacant lot. We got hold of the president of one of their social clubs and had a war council.
Yeah, Dally sighed, and I knew he was remembering New York.
Just like the good old days. If they win, things go on as usual. If we do, they stay out of our territory, but good. Two-Bit got jumped a few days ago. Darry and me came along in time, but he wasn't having too much trouble. Two-Bit's a good fighter. Hey, I didn't tell you, we got us a spy.
A spy? Johnny looked up from his banana split. Who?
That good-looking broad I tried to pick up that night you killed the Soc. The redhead. Cherry, what's her name?